Hello, I'm Chase Griffith, and welcome to the podcast. I am a researcher at Michigan State University, and I've been working on Bitterpit in Apple for about 2 years now. And in that time, I've been asked quite a few questions by other students, researchers, growers, and by people who only know apples from the bin at Meijer. In today's podcast, I'd like to address some of those questions while simultaneously giving an update on newer Bitterpit research. So question one, by those people outside of the apple world, when I explain what I do, the first question is always, what is Bitterpit? The fastest explanation is that it's a physiological condition in apple resulting from calcium deficiency. More recent research has also allowed me to say that bitterpit in apple is very similar to blossom end rot in tomato. Nearly everyone has grown tomato plants on their porch, and just as many people have seen the bottoms of their tomatoes turn black and begin to rot. It turns out that this is a calcium deficiency disorder just like bitterpit, and research in addressing one condition will certainly help address the other. Inevitably, after explaining what bitterpit is, the person I'm talking to will wrinkle up their face trying to think of the last time they saw a pockmarked apple at the grocery store. But bitterpit apples almost never end up on grocery shelves. Bitterpit usually only develops after months of storage and being picked. Question 2. Non-apple industry folks are also shocked when I tell them that I study Honeycrisp exclusively. Those in the industry both know how profitable Honeycrisp is and how susceptible it is to bitterpit. Recent research is also showing us that Honeycrisp and its susceptibility seems to come from two sources. Large fruited cultivars are more susceptible to bitterpit overall, but Honeycrisp seems to derive some of its susceptibility from genetic factors as well. One of Honeycrisp's grandparents, Northern Spy, is so bitterpit ravaged that it contributed to the cultivar's dramatic fall in popularity. Meanwhile, some cultivars like Gala and Macintosh are almost entirely resistant to the condition. As the genetics of bitterpit are better understood, cultivars will eventually be bred specifically for their bitterpit resistance. Question 3. Am I crazy, or was last year a really bad year for bitterpit? Answer, no, you're not crazy. Growers and packing houses have always known that some years end up being awful years for bitterpit across all orchards. This means that there has to be a weather component to bitterpit. The data isn't conclusive on exactly what weather conditions increase bitterpit, however. Some research points to high humidity and low temperatures early in the season, while some points to hot, dry summers, while even more research says the weather just before harvest is the most important factor. What I can say is that the recent increase in quality of packing house data will make it easier to track and compare bitterpit incidents against weather year by year. The best case scenario would be that this weather data would one day allow for the creation of a model which could predict bitterpit incidents at harvest based on weather early in the season. This would allow growers to deploy all of their bitterpit fighting tools in heavy bitterpit years and save money in the lighter years. Question 4 is perhaps the most important question for growers. What does the research say that growers can do to fight bitterpit now? The first and most important tip is to understand that more minerals are involved in bitterpit than just calcium. In bitterpit-affected apples, potassium and magnesium levels are high, so I would advise against spraying either of these minerals in orchards. Another compound to avoid are gibberellins, a class of plant growth regulators which are sometimes used to improve return bloom and fruit size. Unfortunately, these compounds seem to compound bitterpit. In fact, applying gibberellin blockers like prohexidione calcium, which is sold under the trade names Apogee and Kudos, is very effective in preventing bitterpit and is highly recommended. Because bitterpit is a calcium deficiency disorder, it does help to spray trees and fruit with calcium, especially when these sprays are done consistently, beginning early in the season. Finally, because of calcium's role as a messenger in stressed fruit, it is important to be consistent in watering trees so they don't become stressed. And our last question, question 5. What does the future look like in regards to bitterpit? It really can't be overstated how popular Honeycrisp is right now, but this popularity won't last forever. The question then becomes, what apples will rise to take Honeycrisp's place? If this new generation of apples ends up being resistant to bitterpit, a lot fewer apples will be lost to the disorder in the future, by default. But if the consumer demands another apple like Honeycrisp, which happens to have high susceptibility, research will need to create a weather model for prediction, and more work will need to be done on the effect of hormones on bitter pit, and storage conditions will need to be even further finely tuned. If I've got on my prediction hat, I don't think bitter pit will ever completely go away, but through cultivar selection and breeding, intentional spraying and irrigation, and a better understanding of hormones, I believe bitter pit could be brought down to a nuisance level rather than the massive headache that it is today. I hope I've given you all something to think about in regards to one of the most important issues plaguing apple production. While there's still plenty of research to be done, growers have enough tools available today to increase profitability in the face of bitter pit. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great day.